Who or what is responsible for our happiness as individuals, as a country? Where does happiness come from? Where's the happiness fountain? Is it money? Is it power? Is it love? Is it sex appeal? Or does it come from within you, from your heart, and from your inside person? We're going to talk about it in podcast 795, the Bob Davis Podcasts. We're going to talk about happiness in this podcast, and if you're unhappy, it could be because you're working with a payment processor that is not getting the job done. I want to introduce ReliaFund at ReliaFund.com to you. ReliaFund is a payment processor that has been working to provide integrated solutions to get payments cleared for more than two decades. So if you are a developer and you are developing back office stuff for your clients, or you're putting together websites with payment processors in them, or if you're in business for yourself and you want to get a great payment processor that can develop an integrated solution, in other words, a creative solution to your problem, then you want to talk to ReliaFund. There's no long-term contracts. They're secure and technology-focused. 866-243-5040. 866-243-5040. You can click on the banner at the top of the page, thebobdavispodcast.com. That takes you to ReliaFund's contact page. You can tell them about your business. You can tell them about your problems, and they will get back to you. Also, when you call ReliaFund, you're going to talk to human beings. You're going to talk to Kevin Hill or Greg Lowry, and they're great. Or you can check them out online at ReliaFund.com, R-E-L-I-A, ReliaFund.com. Well, I am continually shocked at what passes for commentary and analysis on our supposedly broken politics and, by extension, our sick society in this country, whether it's writers, politicians, or TV guys. It continues to take my breath away at how pedantic and silly most of the commentary regarding anything is. And it reached new levels last week with Senator Mitt Romney, a television talking head known as Tucker Carlson, and a commentator known as Armstrong Williams, taking shots at the, quote, moral failings of our system and the, quote, character of Americans, and how great the characters of the previous generation were and how terrible the character of this generation, particularly the younger generation, which in our time period is the millennials, and how terrible their character is. And it's this lack of character, gravitas, and direction among the younger generations because they're too busy with their cell phones or smoking pot or whatever, and therefore we are going to hell in a handbasket. And that's the problem in America. And this really set me off. I'm trying to really kind of moderate my voice so I'm not ranting, because I'm so tired of the ranting, but this just blows me away, this whole thing. So I'm going to start with Senator Mitt Romney, newly elected from Utah, where he finally figured out he could get elected if he went there. Recently suggested a U.S. president is supposed to shape the public character, to unite us and inspire us to follow our better angels. Presidents, says Senator Romney, are supposed to call on the greatness of the American spirit. You hear it all the time. With a nation so divided, resentful, and angry, presidential leadership qualities of character are, quote unquote, indispensable. So I'll push that one down the river and let you think about that one. TV guy Tucker Carlson blatantly suggested the goal for America is happiness, not mere prosperity. We are supposed to be having deep relationships with other people, and these are things that politicians should want for your children, and our leaders should want that for us if they cared about anything. Because we, you and me, the people listening, the great unwashed, are apparently children. Capitalism, says Carlson, as a system weakens families. Happiness is now the goal. What happened to liberty as the goal? And I'm going to talk about that a little bit towards the end of this podcast, but I'm going to continue giving you sort of a sampling of some of these ridiculous opinions. Another commentator, Armstrong Williams, don't know anything about Armstrong. I'm sure he's a great guy, says spiritual illness is crippling America. And the proof he offers is the Me Too movement, the existence of the Me Too movement, sexual abuse from harassment to rape, he says is rampant in America. So let me restate once again what these people are saying. The United States I hesitate to call it America because I know that's the thing that everyone does. The United States and the people of the United States has a character problem or have a character problem. The United States and the people of the United States have a spiritual problem. And the government, specifically our quote-unquote leaders, are supposed to do something about it because the goal of our government is supposed to be, wait for it, making us happy. Well, this is convoluted nonsense, and it's about time somebody called them on it. When I say convoluted nonsense, let me just give you an example. I'm sure that you have been to a fine Italian restaurant somewhere in your life, just someplace that was, you know, been there for 100 years and was run by four generations of, you know, Sicilians, and everything was fantastic. The gravy, the bread, the wine, everything was amazing. And every now and then in your town in Rapid City, North South Dakota, or in Fargo, or in Minneapolis and St. Paul, or someplace where there aren't as many, you know, really great Italian restaurants like there are in Brooklyn, or used to be in Brooklyn, people say, hey, we should go out for an Italian dinner. Let's go to Buca, or let's go to Olive Garden. And you're going to get a shadow of a really good, you know, Italian, traditional Italian meal. Doesn't mean there's anything wrong with Buca. Doesn't mean there's anything wrong with Olive Garden. It's just not that amazing restaurant in Brooklyn. Well, that's the difference between philosophy from people who really know what they're talking about and from the philosophy that formed the basis of this country and convoluted, worn out, watered down nonsense from people like Mitt Romney and Tucker Carlson. Now, Tucker Carlson offers as evidence of this moral decline in this country, for some reason, fixates on the tax code and fixates on the huge numbers of people smoking weed, especially our boys. He also says libertarians, and this gets out to the economic system in our country, call any deviation from market fundamentalism socialism, and that unless we get responsible people to reform the American economy in a way that benefits normal people, quote unquote, we are going to have socialism. Well, don't even get me started on that because we've had essentially socialism since the 1930s, but I don't want to go there in this podcast. Tucker also says if you want to put America first, you have to put families first, and that our system was created by human beings to benefit human beings. That's not necessarily true. Finally, market capitalism is not a religion. Nobody has ever suggested, as far as I know, that market capitalism is any kind of religion. No reasonable person would say that, and that any system that weakens families is not worth having. So apparently we have a system that's not worth having because we're weakening families, which are we? I don't know. Is the government causing this? Is our economic system causing this? Tucker Carlson sounds more like Hugo Chavez to me, but he is viewed as a quote-unquote conservative. Armstrong Williams says spiritual illness is crippling this country. And I would assume that that means we have turned away from religion because we aren't worshiping in the pews every weekend, although more Americans go to church every Sunday than anywhere else in the world. But the proof, according to Williams, is rape and sexual harassment going on in America is rampant. So let me just get this straight again to review. It's the tax code, right? It's the markets. It's capitalism. And it's because of all these problems with legal weed, because apparently, according to Tucker Carlson, you can't smell it. We're losing our religion, according to Williams. The churches are empty, and on and on and on. So let's look at some recent statistics. First of all, I don't think you have to look very far to find out that while church attendance has declined, the United States identifies very much as a Christian nation, and most people, many Americans still go to church at least once a month. Let's look at some recent statistics on crime, because Williams is offering up this, you know, crime argument as the reason that we're in spiritual decline, because apparently going to church once a month is not enough, or I don't know. The most serious crime is on the decline in this country. In fact, rape and murder are much lower, although it has increased lately. It is much lower than property crime. And by the way, just for fun, what do you think the city with the most reported violent crime is? wait for it, Washington, D.C., the seat of government where all the leaders live. Most Americans think there is more crime than there actually is, and people like Armstrong Williams and Tucker Carlson exploit this to scare you. Yes, forcible rape is up, but not as high in as it was in 1990, and again, in perspective, much lower than reports of other crime. In 2018, overall crimes per 100,000 people are actually down. Moreover, violent crime in the United States is down substantially over the last 25 years, as I said. Now, let's talk about harassment, which if you pay any attention to the Me Too movement or if you watch television news, you would think it is everywhere, especially if you watch the cable TV news shows. But most studies show about 34% of women and 13% of men have reported any kind of harassment in the workplace. And guess where it's highest? It is highest, and at that, it's still less than 50% in terms of being reported in the entertainment and media industries, where it has always been a problem going back to the casting couch days. Okay, what about the devil marijuana? How many people regularly smoke pot in this country? You figure it's 200 million? There's 320-some million, close to 330 million people in this country. I'm sure it's got to be at least 300 million people that smoke pot. 55 million people smoke pot. And if you want to pad that and say it's 65 or 75 or 85, it's still a very small percent of the population. But 55 million is about 20% of the population. Yes, many young people smoke pot, many younger than 18, but I hesitate to add that I started drinking when I was in eighth grade. So you can talk about pot, but most people start with drinking. And alcohol is legal. And of course, people who are proponents of alcohol would say, well, it's not legal for a kid. No. And it's not legal for a kid to smoke pot in those places where it is legal either. But having said this and opened the door to talk about alcohol, 86% of the American people drink alcohol regularly. It has been legal and commercialized since the 1930s after alcohol prohibition failed, probably the biggest policy mistake in the history of the United States. And what was it designed to do? It was designed, prohibition, to make us happier, because alcohol, the devil alcohol, was making us unhappy. Is alcohol abuse a problem in the United States? Yes. First of all, alcohol is the most dangerous drug there is. It's far more dangerous than marijuana. It's far more dangerous than almost any other kind of drug, and it's legal. But even then, alcohol use disorders are lower than you'd think. About 2% of the population suffers from alcohol use disorders of various kinds, even with all the treatment centers and everything else. How many people use prescribed antidepressants and other psychoactive drugs a doctor writes a prescription for? 1 in 6, whether it's Xanax, Ambien, or antidepressants, and these are far more powerful and dangerous than a joint or alcohol. Just watch Tucker Carlson's show and you'll hear all about the side effects. Where? Not in the show. You'll hear about the side effects in the commercials from all those pharmaceuticals that people are taking, because half of every commercial for Xanax or any other kind of pharmaceutical is the side effects that you can suffer. You know, incontinence, depression, on and on and on. Does Tucker talk about that? No, he doesn't, because apparently that's escaped his attention. We have all heard a lot about the opioid crisis. Many of us have family members or friends that have died because of the opioid crisis one way or another. But it was in part created by the government, because the VA began prescribing oxycodone to veterans displaying PTSD symptoms. When they tried to take them off the oxycodone, they went out into the street and started buying, you know, heroin with fentanyl. Something like 55,000 people died from opioid abuse causes in 2018. It's a terrible, terrible number. As a percentage of the population, though, it's really small. 55% is roughly, 1% or 2% of the 0.01 or 0.02% of the population as a whole. Is it a good thing? Do I not care about the people that have died? No, I've lost friends and I have lost family, and it's a terrible thing, but it is not this, you know, country-killing thing. It's a problem that needs to be addressed, and it will be addressed at some point in some way. Here's the thing. Inferring a spiritual or moral crisis and extending that to, say, our politicians because they're not doing their job, because their job is to make sure we're happy, is flat out dangerous. And I'm going to tell you why. Very quickly, what about the economic system? It's unequal, right? And everyone is not making money, so we have to either take the money away from the rich to give to the poor, or we have to change the system so we can make people happy. I don't know when equality became a Republican thing, but changing the system to make people happy is going to result in shortages, expense, and more problems in our economy than we have right now. Now, despite my arguments that the economy isn't booming, because it isn't, but we don't have time for this, the U.S. economy has been doing better, including through the previous administration. So we're talking about Barack Obama. Gross domestic product is increasing or holding. Unemployment is at record lows, although many still want full-time employment. Consumer spending is up, although it surpasses disposable income. So yes, debt is a problem. People are living longer in general. They have more education today and higher incomes in general than they did just 20 years ago, 50 years ago, 100 years ago, for sure. Measurements like the Gini coefficient to determine inequality or measuring the well-being of the country and the world with analysis on biodiversity or global warming and so forth, valuable for academic research, but deeply misunderstood by commentators and by politicians and very difficult to take action on politically. Is life perfect? Do we have perfect character? Do we have a perfect earth? Have we vanquished all the problems that exist in our society and the world? I think you know the answer to that question. The answer is no. By any measure, though, worldwide, things are getting better, not worse. So in the second half of this podcast, I'm going to talk about happiness, spirituality, faith, love, and personal growth and where it comes from. Because, people, it does not come from Washington, D.C. or your state capital. So for some people, happiness has to do with dreams and whether they are reaching their dreams. And one of the things in terms of being happy is if you just make a list of the things that you need to do to make yourself happy, usually it's not that big of a deal, but it might have to do with your home. And it might have to do with maybe you want to finish the garage, maybe you want to finish the attic, maybe you want to put a new bathroom in downstairs. These are all things that people think about, and it nags at you. It certainly nags at me when it comes to the things that I want and the things that I'm trying to do. So if this is you, if you've been hanging out Christmas, New Year's holiday, looking around the house and thinking that you need more room, or you wanted to, you know, have a new bathroom, or you want to fix the garage so that you can watch the Viking games out there, this is where Whitetail Builders comes in. Because maybe this is the year that you're finally going to decide to finish the basement or add a bathroom or finish the garage or get rid of the rotting deck out back and put a new deck in. This is what Whitetail does. So to build your dream, whatever it is, you need a builder who is going to be by your side from start to finish and focused on the details. Because when you do that, the results are amazing. First of all, your expectations are met. With Whitetail Builders, the process is just as important as the end result. Randy Graybaugh at Whitetail does this. His customers rave about him and his attention to detail. I've witnessed it, and so I'm happy to refer you to Whitetail Builders of Andover, Minnesota. They're online at whitetailbuildersinc.com. There's a contact page there. You can leave your name and number and tell Whitetail your dreams, or you can just call Randy Graybaugh at 612-282-8801, 612-282-8801. Whitetail is focused on details. Whitetail is going to be there with you every step of the way, and I know you're going to love the results. Whitetail Builders, helping you construct your dreams. Check them out online at whitetailbuildersinc.com or click on the banner at the top of the page at thebobdavispodcasts.com. This is going to be a little crazy because I have some closing thoughts and I have some additional thoughts in this podcast, but you'll get the point when I get to the end. Why have these commentators suddenly discovered happiness? My sense is that they're struggling because they supported a certain political party or individual, and in our fast-moving world, support for their opinions ebbs and flows unexpectedly. So what you end up doing, and they do this on purpose because I've seen my colleagues do this. They attack and defend. And they engage in something called a strategic opinion or strategic opinion making. That's my term. This is a tactical or strategic decision to support something or not to support something or to attack something because it will either maintain a constituency or an audience or it will draw new people. One of the things that happened in the last 6 months is that liberal commentators are ascending in the ratings and conservative commentators are going down. And so to keep people watching, You know, you have to make decisions about what kind of opinions you're going to be supporting if you are a craven television personality and you want to keep your job. If you don't care about that, then you're actually someone who's valuable and you actually say what you think, whether, you know, people like it or not. The other problem is when you declare yourself a political partisan these days and advocate for a point of view, at some point you are going to run out of road. It happens to all of us. It has happened to me. You know, you have to let it roll down your back and start over and do something else. But this is nowhere more evident than within the ranks of the so-called conservative movement, which doesn't exist anymore and has no principles. But it's also visible in the ranks of the so-called liberal movement, which also isn't liberal and doesn't have any principles. The moral problem that conservative commentators have with the White House is an unpredictable personality in the form of the president, who quickly moves back and forth across the political minefield without warning or regard to anything other than his constituencies or himself. So if you defend Trump, if you support Trump, let's say, you're going to end up stepping on landmines right and left because you can't follow him, because he doesn't adhere to any basic principle. This is why not supporting him and not supporting him is the best approach to deal with someone like this. And I actually think it's the best approach, period, because you can then watch what happens without feeling that you have to defend or support the majority power, whether it's in the House of Representatives or the Senate or the presidency or the courts. So left with the kind of rhetorical destruction that this president is famous for, what's happened is these commentators, many of whom started out supporting him or started out attacking him, never Trumpers, let's say, or Trump, are stuck because now they have to find something else to talk about to get their mojo back, whether they've lost it or not, or to keep their mojo. And so they are turning to moralism and religion, old standards, and spiritual disease as a last refuge for their nonsensical commentary, and we should not be listening to them. So who is responsible for our happiness? We are responsible for our happiness. It comes from within. Someone else is not responsible for whether or not you're happy. Your crappy husband is not responsible for your happiness. Your idiot wife is not responsible for your happiness. The government is not responsible for your happiness. The economy is not responsible for your happiness. And the well-being of the nation is not responsible for your happiness. Now, as everyone knows, I travel a lot, and I, because of travel, not only do I resent the implication that we are sick as a people, it makes me really mad to hear these people on television talking out into the air and saying things like, we're a nation of drug-taking louts who rape and steal and regularly harass, that we are sexist, racist, horrible people crying out for a leader to wipe away our sins, that we have turned away from religion, that we don't care about other people, and that you know, the family is disintegrating, and that we are a mean, base people makes me mad. Because quite honestly, that is not my experience from travel. And if you listen to my travel podcast, you'll hear that. Or the assertion that we're divided and angry, that people, as a people, we are in crisis, we are unhappy, and so on and so on. So these are generalizations which are used to express an opinion, and they're used to get you to pay attention. And it certainly got me to pay attention, but I think it deserves a response. Here's what I think. I think the vast majority of unhappy people can be happy, and pretty quickly. And the reason for that is most people who are unhappy know why they are unhappy. There's a reason. Most of them know the reason they are unhappy, and it's not their husband or wife or a job. They know why they're unhappy. And I wouldn't presume to be able to tell you, if you're unhappy, why you're unhappy. But in your heart of hearts, you know why. Now, you can spend 10 years in therapy and take all kinds of drugs and everything else to try to get to the bottom of it. But if you think you know the answer of why you're unhappy, I'm willing to bet you it has nothing to do with anyone else but you. And you know what the answer is. So how do you get pretty happy, generally speaking, pretty quickly? Well, here's some suggestions, and they are derived from personal experience. So this isn't me preaching to you. This is stuff that I've done. Stop drinking and stop smoking pot. Not because it's legal or illegal or anything else, because those things and other things like antidepressants and things of that nature dull your senses. And when you wake up, when you stop taking those things, you wake up and your senses are enhanced. Practice a martial art or do yoga. Work out and do it with fervor. Do it so that you sweat. Do it for more than an hour or an hour a day, and do it without fail at the same time every day. And it will become a meditation for you. So if you don't know how to meditate, meditate at yoga, or meditate when you're lifting weights, or meditate when you're running, because that's what you're doing. Those things are really, really important, and you will start to feel better immediately, even if you just simply walk around the block 2 hours a day. Stop eating crap. So many people eat bad food because, and they know better, you know, get decent protein, fresh vegetables, and eat protein and fresh vegetables, occasionally rice or potatoes, but not too many of those, and occasionally fasting will help stabilize your general well-being, and it will help you lose weight, and that's going to make you feel better. Get away from social media, news, politics, and people's opinions about what should be and what people should do. My experience is shoulds are toxic, and toxic people almost always are obsessed with what people should do, and they are not afraid to tell you what people should do. If you have someone like that in your life, get rid of them. If you have people like that that you talk to, don't talk to them anymore. If they sit near you at work, move. If they're near you at school, move somewhere else. Get away from them. If you practice yoga next to them, move your mat. Because shoulds and telling people what other people should do is toxicity times 100. Now, here's another thing that I've learned. Politics is just as addictive and just as bad for you as any illegal drug, and way more harmful. A lot of people get involved in politics and they get stuck in the Roach Motel and they cannot get out. Get out of it. If it bothers you, if you're unhappy, that's a chief reason why you're unhappy. You can always go back to it later. If you become happy and decide, hey, you know what I liked? I really liked helping to organize at my local political unit or whatever. I'm going to go back to doing that. Fine. I'm not saying that that's what's making you unhappy. I'm saying that all of these things together cause people to be really, really unhappy. Finally, resign your chair as the general manager of the world. You will not be missed. And you will be much happier when you give it up. And then finally, you have to give it time, because your personality is like the skin of an onion. You peel it, you know, you peel it and peel it and peel it and peel it to get down to the kernel. And that takes a long time, particularly if you're engaged in some kind of martial art discipline or yoga or, you know, working out or changing the way that you eat or any of those things. You're going to find that it takes time. And I guess I would add one more thing to it, and this is go see some art. Go to the museums. Go see a concert. And I don't mean a rock concert or, you know, something like that. I sound like a 100-year-old man. Go see some classical music. You know, experience some art, true art in the world, and it will make you feel better. I had a friend that worked in New York for many, many years, and he would go to the garden at the New York Museum, and I think it was the MoMA, and sit there and just sit in the garden, because he said, even if I sat there for 30 minutes, I would feel better almost immediately. So in conclusion, we live in a modern world, a world where people can know anything they want within seconds, wherever they are. We live in a world where a code writer in the Philippines can feed his or her family by functioning as a task rabbit for clients all over the world, or where, you know, a guy from Pittsburgh that used to be a steelworker can supplement his income by driving an Uber, or a retiree in New York City can teach himself to day trade and make more money than he ever made when he was working. It all just takes hustle and skill, and you just don't wake up in the morning and know how to day trade. You have to learn these things through trial and error. The sooner you start, the better it's going to be. So in this modern world, people are experimenting with new social arrangements and interests and new ways to make money. And we should be celebrating that opportunity, not judging people because they're from a younger generation or because they don't see family in the same way as you and I do. Moralists, especially Republican moralists, are actually advocating for a system in which the elected leaders are sovereign, not the people. Well, in this country and in our system, we the people, the individuals, are the sovereign. And I am shocked that people like Mitt Romney and Tucker Carlson and others don't understand that and are calling for sacrifice, which is the signature of a collective type of government arrangement and a tyranny. So some additional thoughts. Arguments like market capitalism is not a religion are straw man arguments because nobody ever said market capitalism was a religion. It's not the politician's job to make us happy. It's our job. And here's how it reads, actually. We have an unalienable right to pursue happiness. We do not have the right to be happy. In any given day, with any given person, things are going to make them happy and unhappy. I don't like traffic. I'm going to be unhappy in traffic. I don't like waiting for stuff in line. I don't like it when I go to yoga and I come out of the yoga studio and I go down to the locker room and there's 50 guys in there that are cutting their toenails and taking forever to get into the shower. You know, I have to deal with that. Here's another one. The multi-tiered tax code is based on the free market. It's not based on any free market. The multi-tiered tax code wasn't the result of people who were rich trying to hold down the rest of us or companies trying to get money. It was the result of redistributionists. That is, the people who are wealthy are evil, bad people, and we should take their money away and give it to the poor. That's redistribution. Most taxes actually are paid by the wealthy because of the progressive tax code. And the fact is, they spend an awful lot of money and time paying accountants to shelter their money from the tax man legally. And of course, you can do that too. If you don't like the tax code, then become a corporation. I guarantee you Tucker Carlson is a corporation. You'd be surprised how much you'll save in taxes. I guarantee you that Mitt Romney is a corporation. Most people who are rich invest conservative portions of their small salaries over a lifetime. And what do? They deny themselves satisfaction, and it is a very capitalistic thing to invest money in the market over a long period of time, and when they die, they leave a large amount of money to their children, either through investing in real estate and rental properties and passive income or through stock markets. Fairness is not the goal of capitalism. Capitalism doesn't care about fair. Capitalism doesn't guarantee a result that is fair to one and all. Even people who work hard are not guaranteed a result. Even people who are entrepreneurs and put everything they have into their company and it doesn't become Apple Computer, there's no rule that says if you do what Steve Jobs did or if you do what somebody else did or if you do come up with this crazy idea that you're going to be wealthy and it's fair and only fair that you become very wealthy. Markets work by mutually beneficial decisions, not adults making voluntary decisions about how to live their lives. How can Tucker Carlson get it so wrong? Even a kid with a lemonade stand knows that mutually beneficial decisions are the bedrock of them making money. If the day is hot enough, if the lemonade is cold enough, and if you have enough of it and it is priced right, people will make the mutual decision to stop their cars, get out, and buy some lemonade from you, and you will go home with a pocket full of change. And somehow, this condition of mutually beneficial decisions is disgusting, according to Carlson. This is why I say he's more like Hugo Chavez than Ronald Reagan or any other conservative you can think of. And this is another thought that I had, and I'm sorry that it's true, but it is. The church, and not just the Catholic Church, but the church is responsible for a great deal of sexual abuse of children. God knows how much of that is translated into other kinds of sexual abuse, but it's the church that's largely responsible for it. And somehow the church is the answer to our morality problem. And you wonder why institutions that we once held on a high pedestal in our society have fallen and have been broken up and never to be repaired again. Because even I, and I try to be as reasonable as I can and as kind as I can to the church, even I am disgusted and furious with the Catholic Church because of their clear morality problems. problem. They are amoral. They are not religious. And Jesus, if he comes back and isn't the nice guy everyone thinks he's going to be, is going to lay that church to waste. And they should be worried about that, because many of those guys who are in the church are definitely going to hell. The presidency is supposed to have integrity and inspire, except when it doesn't. What is the president of the United States? The president of the United States is nothing more than the CEO that was picked by the Electoral College to run a company known as the United States. The president of the United States was never meant to be imperial. They were never meant to be feted as though they were saints when they were buried. They were never meant to have complete power over the country so that they could make us happy or unhappy. No. That is the definition of a king. One of the most wonderful presidents, one of the guys David Brooks held up as a paragon of virtue when it came to character, was in fact the guy who wrote the book on using the CIA as a subterranean influence in overthrowing governments in Latin America and Asia that resulted in many people being killed and many problems later on. So, let's not give these guys too much credit. The American Revolution happened because the colonists, and by the way, it was the top shelf of the colonists. It was the Bill Gateses and the Steve Jobs and the Jeff Bezoses of the world and the Rockefellers of the world at the time in the what became the United States in the colonies. Simply wanted representation in the English Parliament first. And when that was denied them, why did they want representation? Because they wanted to have skin in the game of legislation when it came to taxation. And when it was denied them, they decided, we're not going to have this because they did not like taxation. And it wasn't a progressive tax code. It was taxes in general. And in those days, it was tariffs that was hurting their business, and they didn't like it. And they wanted to determine their own future. And secondarily, and very important to this conversation, they did not believe in the diktat of the monarchy concerning religion. So the revolution happened because kings were busy trying to make us happy by making us all Anglicans or Catholics. And I can't believe that people like Tucker Carlson or Mitt Romney don't understand this. All right, listen up, people. I'll tell you what really makes me happy, and that is getting print cartridges 30% off compared to the big box stores from Cartridge World, because I don't hate my printer anymore, and I don't live a negative ninny lifestyle because I'm upset about my printer. So if you want to be happy, talk to Cartridge World in Maple Grove. You can save up to 30% compared to the big box stores, and their cartridges are guaranteed to perform as good as new. I think they're better than new. Free delivery on qualifying orders, and yes, they can send them out to you if you are listening in Tennessee or in Michigan or pretty much any place. Cartridge World is in Maple Grove off of Weaver Lake Road between Dairy Queen and Subway. If you're in the North Metro, you can simply call them at 763-420-6632 from around the world. 763-420-6632. Ask for Jason and he will hook you up, or you can click on the banner at the top of the page at thebobdavispodcasts.com. All right, everybody, thanks for listening to the Bob Davis Podcast right off the page at thebobdavispodcast.com, subscribing on iTunes, listening on TuneIn. Alexa works with TuneIn. Also, we're on Google Play Music and the new Google app for podcasts when they get that up and running. I'm not sure where they're at with that. And of course, the granddaddy iTunes. And I appreciate the likes and the shares and the favoriting and following on Facebook and Twitter. We're on blogtalkradio.com. We are on Spreaker.com, all over the place. I really do appreciate the shares on social media. That helps me a lot, or the retweets. And thanks for your donations for Mobile Podcast Command at thebobdavispodcast.com. Thanks for listening to Podcast 795. Take it easy. It's all good.
Well, I'm running down the road trying to loosen my load. I got 7 women. The sound of your own wheel.
take it easy.